obey the Lord, had some time here today in the church just to seek after Him. And I felt like the Lord began to speak into my heart a word for tonight. And I tell you, how many knows the most important thing is right here,
yes,
right now?
Right.
I'm telling you, we need to hear the word of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of things that I can speak here tonight. There's a lot of things I can talk about tonight. And there's a lot of things that us men, our wives probably sit there and think, boy, some of the things they talk about bores me. And we think it's just the greatest thing. You know, I talked last night. We got talking a little bit about deer hunting, Brother Frazier. And I was getting plumb excited. Now, my wife, she could care less. She does a good job of acting like she's interested, but she could care less. I've tried to get her in the woods with me. I've tried to get her. One time I took her, and she about had me ready to kill a man. She said, I see a deer. And I got to looking. I said, well, that's Brother Larry. I said, I think that's the last time. We won't put a gun in her hand. We'll just take her along and talk. That's about it. But I tell you, I really appreciate God. Appreciate Him. If you've got your Bibles, we'll get right in here tonight. Don't want to hold you long, but I want the Lord to have His way. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with us tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 3. And again, like last night, I will be bouncing to some other chapters tonight. So have your Bibles ready, and we'll see what God will do tonight. It said in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Then, if you will, you can go with us now to Luke chapter 3, where we'll begin to read, looking at verses 15 through 18. Again, that's Luke chapter 3. Don't want to get ahead of anybody here tonight. Verses 15 through 18. And it says, and as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. Then you can go with us again to the book of Acts. We'll go there. Acts chapter 2. And we'll look at verses 3. And I thought about there was another place that I could have read, but I felt like it just was another place that confirmed what Luke had just read to us, and that was in Matthew chapter 3, 11 and 12. If you want to go there on your spare time tonight or tomorrow and just read that on your own. But I thought about in Acts chapter 2, we find in verse 3, it said, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. As the Spirit gave them the utterance. I just, for a little while tonight, I just felt like the Lord was really dealing with my heart on, as a church, as a body, as a people of God, as individuals, however you want to look at that. Doesn't matter if you want to look at that as an individual, if you want to look at that as a body, if you want to look at that as a corporate. One thing is the same in all instances. We all need the fire.
Yes.
Yes.
Every one of us need the fire of God.
Yes.
You know, the fire has always intrigued me. I was that guy. If you'll allow me just for a few minutes to take my time here and lay a foundation, I don't know about Brother Kyle. I don't know about any of the other young men. I don't know why I always felt this way, but anytime we had a camp out, how many of you ever had camp outs or stayed out in the woods? I love it. One of my favorite things.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Brother Fraser, I don't know why, but I always thought I was the official fire keeper. I don't know why that was. I always felt like there was this sense of duty that I've got to keep the fire burning. Nobody else can do the fire like me. And I will admit, there were times that I did a good job, and I was a young boy. Now, son, don't you laugh when Dad says this. I shouldn't even tell this because I'm giving my son room to talk about something now. He always asks me, tell me stories of when you were little. And sometimes my brain just can't remember. I've got great short-term memory, terrible long-term memory. I don't know why that is. But I'll never forget being a young boy, keeping that fire burning, and everybody else was asleep. But I can remember when it would get dark. Nighttime, and everybody's in their tents, and I'm out there alone by the fire, and my imagination starts to run wild.
All right.
Every little stick that starts to break, I'm starting to go. And I know what I've told everybody.
Yeah.
Go on to sleep. I'll keep the fire burning. And that reminder, when I'm wanting to get in the tent now, because I'm scared, that reminder says, but you said you would be the fire watch.
Yeah.
But now my physical body is arguing, saying, well, if I just put enough logs on, it'll keep burning and nobody will know. And that was me. Many times, I'd do good till everybody else was in the tents, asleep. But when I heard the sticks start breaking, my mind instantly started going. And you know what? I knew what kind of animals we had, but isn't it funny how a kid, all of a sudden, that could be a bear. And people said, son, don't you know where you're at? There wasn't even bears. I don't care. There's something in them woods, and it's coming for me. That's just my mentality. That's the way I thought. That's what ran in my mind. How many knows, as funny as that is, that's how we do sometimes spiritually when it comes time to watch our fire.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll do great keeping that fire alive. We'll do good keeping the logs going. We'll do good praying. We'll do good reading our Bibles. I mean, we're checking the list. We're doing what's right. We're running good for God. But then all of a sudden, in the midst of running for God, I'm telling you, I'm starting to feel my helper here tonight. We'll be doing good. We'll be on our right track. We'll have our right mind. We're focusing on the right things. But then all of a sudden, that curveball that we did not expect comes to our household. That thing that we did not expect hits our children. That thing that we did not fathom coming to pass, all of a sudden it comes to our door. And our minds all of a sudden go from putting all of our trust in the Lord. And all of a sudden we start preconceiving things in our minds. We start claiming things that God had not even said had come to pass. And every little lie the devil starts speaking, we start receiving. And every time the preacher's trying to preach, there's help, there's hope, there's a promise. The only thing we can hear is we're going to die. We're going to lose out. We're going to miss out. And if we're not careful, that fire that was once burning, that fire that was once going strong for God, the next thing we notice will be like Samuel, asleep and the lamp out.
Yeah.
I got to read into that. Got to looking at that. You know, there was a place in Leviticus that the Bible, and I read it, and it confirmed what I thought. You know, that lamp was never ever to go out. There was a person that had a responsibility in that tabernacle in Leviticus. He said there is a fire that it should continually burn. What was it a representation of? It was a representation of the Spirit of God. It was a representation that as long as the fire burned, there was life is the tabernacle. Can I tell you? We are tabernacles of God. We as vessels are the tabernacle. This church could burn down.
I ain't prophesying that. I need to clarify
what I'm saying. Let me, sometimes I'm afraid we can get going too quick. But what I'm saying, my father, I'll never forget this story. My grandpa resurrected a church, Brother Kyle. He built that church. He sold his farm. He built that church. And he said, you know, I did not realize when we built that church, you know, it matters how the church is built.
Yeah.
You know, the fire of God, it can burn out what needs to be burned. Isn't that amazing that a fire can do such damage in some ways? But then you look at those, you know, honey, here we go in that honey track. There's some places that it's not good for the wildlife. So they have to come in and they have to do what they call control burns.
Yeah.
And you know, it's amazing. They'll show them photos of before and after. And it's amazing how thick some of those properties are. But then all of a sudden, after they do that control burn, that beautiful lush, that beautiful green grass that begins to grow, those trees that were once dead begin to get life again, and it becomes a place that can be inhabited. You know what? That's what the fire of God will do in the life of an individual that serves Him. It will burn out what needs to be burned out, but it'll make that vessel that was not a place to live, it'll make it a place that will thrive. My grandpa built that church. Little did he expect that church would burn down. And that's where I'm getting to with my statement I made. That church burnt to the ground. They had a church still there. They've actually made that church a house now. It's the neatest thing. My wife said, I wish I could walk inside that church and see how they made that into a house. Big old cathedral ceilings, beautiful church on the outside. But my grandpa said, I remember when we got that church, it just wasn't the same. He said, it wasn't the church we built. He said, but God spoke to me one day through a preacher from Africa. A preacher came, and literally this is the words that he spoke. He said God had to burn the first church down because it was built with impure hands. And Grandpa got to looking back, and he said, you know what? There were some individuals that got involved in that project that weren't men of God. They weren't men that had a right standing with God. But God said when the second church gets built, it's going to be by men that got a mind and a vision for the things of God. And Grandpa said one day I was discouraged about it. It wasn't still easy to swallow. He said, I was still upset. God, I don't understand why the church had to be burnt down. He said, but all of a sudden, a member of the congregation said, brother, that ain't the church. He said, we're the church. He said, these people are the church. And Grandpa said, it was like a revelation in him. And he said, that's the truth. It ain't the walls that make the difference. It ain't the ceiling that makes the difference. But it's what's in the church. I said it's what's in the church. We're what makes the difference. These walls can't sing the song we sing. This ceiling can't praise God like we can. It can't burn with fire like we can. We can burn for God and still live. I said we can burn for God and still live.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Fire is important. I loved it as a kid. Anybody ever sit at those Cracker Barrel tables? I haven't been to Cracker Barrel in a long time. Sister Brooke, Brother Kyle, y'all might have more sense than what I did as a kid. But you ever put your hand over those little lamps and see how long you can hold your hand? Boy, I'm telling a lot of stories for my children. They're going to get my head examined when we leave here. But I remember, I don't even know why, but we just all of us at that table as kids. We get over that fire. Boy, for a while, I could handle it. And then all of a sudden, hot. You know what? That's what happens when we get close to fire of God.
Yes.
Something's going to move.
Yes.
Something's going to happen. I'm telling you, a church alive.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you, a church alive is worth the trust. One pastor said, he said, here I had people 5 minutes from the church, and I couldn't convince them to get out of bed and come to church. He said, but I had families that were driving 2 hours to get to church. And he said, I asked him one day, I don't understand. You repeatedly are faithful. You come every Sunday. And that's like a 2-hour drive. And I've got people that are 5 minutes that I cannot coax to get to church. And that brother said, brother, the reason I come 2 hours is it's a God thing. He said, I can't miss what God's doing. You know what? When you get in the fire of God, it'll open your eyes that there's something alive in the church. And I've got to get to where the fire is. One man said it might have been a wrong thing to do. He said, but I put out a scream one night and I said, it's burning. It's burning. It's burning. And he said, I ran down the street hollering, it's burning, it's burning, it's burning. He said, people got to following me. He said, we got to the church. And all of a sudden they started going, where's the fire? He said, the fire's in the church. And he said, I started preaching. He said, it wasn't a natural fire, but it was a spirit birth fire. You know what? That's what happened at the day of Pentecost.
Yeah, come on.
That's what happened. Started off at 1 Samuel chapter 3. Started off. You know, there's a lot to be said there. There's a lot of things we could take time to talk about there. You know, Brother Fraser, it didn't make sense many times when I've read that. How the Bible said Samuel was ministering to Eli. That'd be like me tonight saying, Silas, I don't have a word. Minister to me, son. And I'm not against children. I believe children are a place. They've got an importance in the church. I believe sometimes we overlook the beauty of what sits before us. I believe sometimes we overlook. You know, back in the day, it was just the way my grandpa was raised, Brother Fraser. But as he got older, he said, man, I missed out on a lot of good things that God could have done in the children. My grandpa was old school. He was just taught the place was not for children. The pulpit was not for children. I can remember one time being on the drums. I was keeping the beat. I was where I should be. And my grandpa ran me off that pulpit. And my mom said, Dad, what was he doing? He said, I don't know, Linda. I don't even know why I did that. It was just a different age back then. But can I tell you, don't overlook the beauty that sits in your chairs. I know children.
Yeah.
I got a heathen back there right now that I'm asking you to pray for. He's honest. Children are just honest. I'll ask him someday, don't you love God? No. Okay, I don't want you to lie. I don't want to teach my children to lie. God, I think, even teaches he'd rather you just tell if you're cold, be cold. If you're hot, be hot. Don't be in that lukewarm stage. Be honest before God. It's better to be honest than to be cold on God. You know what? Somebody that's cold and indifferent, you can't help. But somebody that takes note of where they're at, you can help get them to the fire. It's tough. It's tough separating who's on fire and who's not. It's tough because people lose confidence, Brother Fraser. And I get it. I've had men that when they preach, Brother Fraser, they fooled me. I thought, boy, they're so full of the fire. But then I realized they just got good and acting.
Yeah.
You say, that don't happen in the Pentecostal. Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah.
That's why we need to discern. We need to know who's got the fire and who don't got the fire. I found out a lot of this, Brother Fraser, I've asked God to open my eyes. I served under a man a couple of years. Didn't even pick up on it. One day I was talking to a pastor. He said, I hate to tell you this. He said, but this has been going on for a while. And I just feel like I need to tell you, he's been calling me. He's been calling me and telling me how busy he is and how he ain't got time to pray. and how he ain't got time because he's got visitation, and how he's over here working in the church. Just give me a point and I'll wing it. He said, well, at first I didn't think it was a bad thing. I thought, well, if it's just on one occasion, I guess everybody can get tired once in a while. Everybody can need help. But he said, I noticed that it wasn't a couple weeks later, he did it again. Brother, just give me a message. A title's all I need. And I can come up with 3 points and I'll wing it. I had no idea that was going on. You know what? The Holy Ghost still moved. You know what? That's what I'm going to tell you tonight. You say, how did God move? Because it's His Word. And sometimes you don't need to back the person, but you need to back who it is that they're talking about. So that way, if the preacher does fail you, you can still say, but it was truth what he preached. I'm telling you, don't put men on the trophy case.
Come on.
I've gotten hurt. Mm-hmm. One thing I've learned, when the fire burns, you can get over the hurt.
Yeah.
When the fire burns, you can get over the hurt. You can make it through the pain.
Yeah.
I mean, remember Paul. Paul said, he must have forsaken me. Paul walked through a place where he felt forsaken, but Paul said, but I remember what God God's done, and I can't turn back now. I just come to tell Cain Revival Center, there is a fire, and don't ever lose that fire. Don't ever lose the realness of who God is. Don't ever lose that burning on the inside.
All right.
I've seen churches where I've literally heard people say, this is the saddest thing. I've literally seen people look back in the history and say, that was a church that once thrived, but now the doors are shut.
Yeah.
There are so many churches, it blows my mind. You can find churches on just about every corner in some cities.
Yeah.
I told my brother-in-law, I said, I don't understand it. I don't understand. I said, do you really believe that God calls all the preachers to Oklahoma? I mean, sometimes we wonder why there's no churches in some places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, everybody's getting to church 5 minutes apart. Yeah. My brother-in-law said, I'm glad you said that, because he said, the first chance I get to go down south, I'm going to tell some preachers, there is a place called New York. Yeah. There is a place called Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but we act like south's got it all. I'm going to tell you, the God's the same in the north as He is in the south. People tell me, you know, me and my brother-in-law, we've gotten calls because we both would come from down there. We've gotten calls. I don't know how y'all are making it up there. It's so wicked up there. I said, brother, it ain't no different than where you're at. The same devil you're facing is the same devil we're facing. But what makes the difference is the fire of the Lord. The fire. I told my mother, I said, you know what? I lived there. We had the youth camps. We had those places. And I'm not against them. But I said, Mama, I said, one thing I noticed, it had to be a relationship. It couldn't be a program that kept me. I had to find a place in God that said, God, it's got to be more than a 1 week experience. But God, I need an everyday walk.
Yes. Amen.
I've come to tell some kids here, you got more for you than against you.
Right.
Yeah.
I refuse to believe that lie that we can't thrive where we're at.
Amen.
You know what? Daniel lived in captivity, but he never lost his integrity in God.
Yeah.
Heathen kings and heathen people noticed the wisdom Daniel had. Ain't that crazy? Promoted. Who would have thought? Promoted. You know, sometimes we look at where we're at. Sometimes we look at what we're facing. Boy, I had no idea I was going this direction.
Oh,
I just asked God, go with you, Lord. Whatever you want to do, I'll follow you. I don't know who this is for, but maybe somebody needs to hear. Sometimes we think, God, I just can't thrive because where I'm at. Well, you tell Jeremiah that.
Yeah.
Jeremiah, here he had gotten in a place where the people of Israel turned their back. Can I tell you? That's why we can't lose the fight.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why we can't lose the fight. Because tomorrow, you don't know. Maybe they will come to our doors and say, you can't come to church. Maybe there will come a day. You say, oh, I don't see that happening here. I'm telling you, it's already. every person should have.
Yes.
But you know what? We got men already deeming things that they want to put on file. Well, I believe an employer has a right. If he wants to make him work 7 days, make him work 7 days. I'm going to tell you, it's going to come a day when we might have to make some decisions on what we do for God. And it might affect us financially. It might affect us in what, but I'm going to tell you what, don't ever lose the fire. Don't compromise for nothing. Don't compromise what God's given you in this hour that we're living.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we can't afford. You say, why are you making such a big deal about not losing the fire? We know these things. We know that. But you know what? So didn't they. So didn't they. That Bible said there came a day in Jeremiah's time. God began to put things. You know what? We look at things and we think that can't be God. I'm going to tell you what, sometimes God does things for a reason.
Yeah.
Probably knows we can be stubborn sometimes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We can be stubborn. Mm-hmm. I've had moments where it's because of my stubbornness that I walked in the places that I had to go through. God didn't want to put me through that, but he said, that's the only way I can turn your neck, son.
Yeah.
Sometimes that thing you're praying, God, take it from me. God said, that's the only way I can keep you on your knees.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. But I thought about Jeremiah. One preacher said, here he was buying up real estate in a time when most people would have said, oh, that's a down market. Don't buy. He said, but God was orchestrating something that was about to turn in favor of Jeremiah. You see, Jeremiah was in a prison. Jeremiah was in a place of captivity. But the Bible said, but the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah a second time. And it began to tell him, I'm fixing to show thee things that y'all know it's not. Can I tell you, church, when you get close to the fire, God will begin to reveal things. God will begin to do things in your life. God will make us to where we see the things we need to see. We can't afford to lose that fire.
Right.
I thought about something neat. My brain, I know that if I don't write things down, I have to write things down sometimes.
Yeah.
And I ponder them. I look at it. There's a thing called that fire triangle. Told you fires interest me. And there's elements. Who would have thought? You know, most of us, we just think of a fire, just give me some wood, throw it in there, light a match. How many knows I've tried that before and it don't always work?
Yeah.
We have a lot of weeping willow trees and we weep because of them a lot. Do not plant you a weeping willow tree. You will weep. It will honor its name.
Yeah.
My grandpa grabbed a bunch of branches and when he grabbed and things, just little things, we've got big trees all over the place and we're hurting. Just now, you know, we are hurting because of it.
Yeah.
They suck up the water.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden when it gets dry, all them little leaves start coming down. And then next thing you know, when you get the winter, all the branches start coming down.
Yeah.
And guess who gets to start picking them up?
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of weeping. A lot of weeping. One time a man came, he told my grandpa, said, I want to buy one of them trees. And grandpa said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, well, ain't this a weeping little farm? He said, no. He said, no. He said, if I known it was going to take off like it did, I would have never planted this man.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, be careful what you plant.
Yeah.
Be careful what you plant. I'm telling you, there's things that sometimes you need to root out before it takes root.
Yeah.
The fire of God will burn out what needs to be burned out.
Right.
But a thing that amazes me about a fire, oxygen, you got to have that oxygen. That oxidizer agent, they call it. You got to have that heat. And how many knows you got to have something to fuel it with to get that fire going? I've watched my Uncle Jay many times. When the fire wouldn't burn, he said, go get the gas.
Yeah.
I said, it's about to get serious. And sometimes, let's go get the oil. And then I'm really backing up. But I'll tell you, we had a fire. Explosion.
Yeah.
You know what? That's what God wants to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
That's what God wants to do.
Right.
Yeah.
God doesn't want us just to have a little bit of, you know, sometimes we're just satisfied in our lives with just that little flicker. But you know what? My pastor said one time, Brother Doug, Brother Fraser, he liked to go squirrel hunting. And he said, down in Brooks, Kentucky, in that area, it's a lot of hills and valleys. And he said, it was getting dark, and I wasn't thinking about it getting dark. I just was chasing squirrels, and I was going down holler after holler. And he said, all of a sudden, I got way off from where I lived, and it got dark, and I forgot to bring a flashlight. He said, the fear gripped my heart, because I'm all the way out in the dark. I can't find my sense of direction. He said, but I remembered if I could get on that one hill and if I could look out, I know that there's a light on the porch. If I can see the light, I can make it home. Can I tell you, light and fire are kind of the same, hand in hand. If you can see the fire, if you can see the light, you can make it home. Brother Doug said, I got down that one hill and I got up to where it was. And I looked, and I could see that porch light. He said, so I tell you what I did. He said, I started walking down the hill. He said, but the problem was, when I got down the hill, I lost hope. I lost hope because I couldn't see the light no more. He said, but something rose up in me and said, brother, just keep going because soon you're going to see the light again. He said, I got up to that next hill, and I looked out, and I could see that light again. So he said, I just started building confidence, and I kept going. Can I tell somebody tonight, it might feel dark where you're at. It might feel like you've lost sight of where it is, but there is still a fire at Cane Revival Center that if you'll get your heart fixed on it, you can make it home.
Yeah.
You can make it home.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave us hopeless here tonight. I'm telling you, just because Samuel's day, just because somebody didn't keep that lamp burning, don't mean that has to be your story.
Yeah.
That don't mean it has to be your story. But somebody can make up in your mind tonight, I choose to let my fire burn. I choose to let my fire live. Can I tell you, every one of us have a mindset today, we can choose to say, it's important to pray.
Yeah.
Or we can say, I just ain't going to pray.
Yes.
But I can tell you what's going to happen. It don't even take a prophet to tell you this. You quit praying, that fire's going to start dying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It will.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you another thing, and I don't even have to be a prophet to tell you this one. Why is it sometimes the preacher could say something, we'll say, unless a prophet tells me, I won't take it. You know what? When a preacher preaches from this word, that is prophecy.
Yeah.
You realize you want prophecy? Read the Bible.
Right.
Yeah. Read the Bible.
Right.
That's prophetic right there in itself.
Yes.
There is times people missed out on God because they were waiting on that preacher that they had confidence in to come to them. When God was saying, honey, I was giving you a word all along. You just kept going in one direction. You wouldn't turn around.
Yeah.
You know what? It wouldn't make no sense, Brother Noah, if I knew you was walking to a cliff and I just watched you go.
Right.
You know what, Brother Noah? Turn around. Turn around. Don't keep going. But you know what? Brother Noah's got a choice.
That's right.
Yeah.
He can choose to heed. He can choose to stop and turn. Or he can choose to say, hey, what is he? He don't know what he's talking about. He can choose to keep going.
Right.
You know what? There's a choice today. You could keep that fire burning. There ain't nobody going to force you to keep your fire burning.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some cold nights coming. You're going to want that fire burning.
Yeah.
You know what? There ain't nothing more beautiful in the wintertime. Someone's got a fire burning, and you're doing them hills, sledding, tubing, and all of a sudden you can take a break and get where the fire is. Can I tell you, sometimes in life, spiritually, it feels like we've been going up hills and getting farther and farther. I mean, it was that Wi-Fi signal thing. I don't understand a lot of everything, but I know one thing. The farther you get from the source, the weaker your signal gets. Can I tell you, it ain't no different from the fire. The farther you get from the fire, the less you're going to feel the heat.
Yeah.
The farther you get from this Bible, the less you're going to feel the impact of its word.
Yeah.
The farther you get from your knees hitting the floor, the less you're going to understand what God's trying to say to you.
Yes.
Can I tell you? There's some things that we can do And that's what I want to end here tonight as an encouragement. I'm going to get to some things that I really feel. To keep our fires burning, I want to say this. And it's not supernatural things. You know what? There's been many people that have failed to even try to get the fire going because they felt like, I can't be like so-and-so. I can't. You know what? There are some sisters that will never know their names. And we've had services that there's not a doubt in my mind. We were gifted because somebody was in that prayer closet. There was a church we were at. There was a lady. She was humped over in a chair. Sister Sly. My wife knows her. I'm going to tell you something. There was something about her, Brother Frazier, when she would get in that prayer room, she meant business with God. Yeah. You'd be praying and walking in the church, and you could hear Sister Sly. And she was humped over because of a condition she had. But even that, she didn't let that stop from calling on God. She would sit in that chair, and all of a sudden you would hear it belly up from her stomach. Oh, God. You know what? She was trying to start a fire. Yeah. She was concerned. Somebody's got to have a fire tonight. You know what? Every time we get in that prayer closet, it ain't always about you. It ain't always about just you. But sometimes it's when we get a burden that the fire's got to burn, not just for me, but my baby needs a fire to burn.
Yeah, come on.
Keeping the fire burning. I want to tell you, we as adults, I'm learning this. See, I used to be where they sit. I used to be that rowdy kid that got whipped sometimes because I was more interested in playing than praying. And now I see it in my own children. Thank God my older ones have gotten saved working on the three-year-old. We're trying to have devotions in the house with Frazier, and it's a disaster. We're trying to read. We're trying to pray. And he's running all around. He's jumping all over me. And I'm saying, son, it's time to pray. I want to play. I want to spank you. Oh, warfare. Warfare. But it happens.
Yeah.
The devil's not just going to step back. The devil's not just going to say, oh, Brother Kyle, I want you to have a fire tonight. I'm not going to do anything to stop you. No, well, while you're not looking, the devil's throwing water on that.
Yeah.
While you're not looking, the devil's throwing water. But I got good news. I read where there was a prophet that even when the water soaked up the altar, and it was actually him that told him to do it, he said, pour water on it. But he still prayed a prayer because he knew the God he served could soak up the water and can burn the wood. And it consumed those prophets of Baal. Can I tell you, it don't matter what the devil throws your way, the fire can still burn if you'll press towards God.
Yes.
So I'm going to tell you, keep reading.
Yes.
Don't quit reading. I made it up. I did a little statistic, and I'm not a numbers guy. You got to get around Pastor Pence. He can rack your brain with numbers. I mean, I don't know if you ever get talked to him. All of a sudden, he'll start throwing in percentages. And I'm like, brother, slow down. You're losing me. I mean, we're talking about offering, and he's got the percentage already figured out. I'm like, where were we at? I'm telling you, numbers hurts my head. He loves it. But he'll get up sometimes talking about them figures and talking about things. But you know what? It don't matter what comes our way. It don't matter what comes up against us. Keep reading. But I got talking about numbers. I got looking at a little stat of a 365-day year. And boy, it blew my mind away, Brother Frazier. God began to show me when I broke it down. I broke down our church time. I broke down our service time. You know, if you average a service, and I don't want to go into all the numbers because I know how that feels, especially when we're tired. Nobody needs a headache right now. Let's leave here in good spirits. But I'm telling you, do it on your math. Do it. I challenge you one day. On your own, you figure that out. Start doing the numbers. Some of us wonder why we can't survive a year in Christ.
Yeah.
God said, son, compare what you've just done. Your services for the year. If all you base your time with God is just off your church service.
Yeah.
If that's the only time you decide, I'm going to open my Bible. If that's the only time you decide, I'm going to pray this day. It didn't even cover half the year.
Right.
Yeah.
Not even close.
That's right.
Not even close. And God said, how can a person survive 365 days if that's their dedication to me?
Yeah.
Come on.
Exactly.
Right.
Blow me away. He said, son, let's go a little deeper. He said, let's say you get sick a couple of those times. Let's say you miss a couple weekends. You just even cut less, even more. Can I tell you, I know for a fact, I've had people tell me, the only time I really ever get the Bible is when I'm at church. Yeah, some, it's not through fault. There are some kids, we don't understand their home life. Kids that are facing things where mom and dad's not supporting them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, you can still have a fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
How do you know that? Because there were three Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I told you the fire, it'll consume the wrong things, but it'll thrive in the right conditions. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they got faced with a tough situation. Everybody was bowing, Brother Frazier. Everybody was bowing to that idol that was set up. But oh, the king got enraged when he found out they weren't bowing to the king. They weren't bowing to that idol. Can I tell you, young folks, you don't have to bow down just because the world says that there's more than just he, she, it's it, that, it's a cat. I'm telling you what. We do not have to bow down to what the world says. God made male, God made female. One man, one woman. I tell you what, if we go to jail, we'll have to go to jail.
Yeah.
Brother, you better watch it. You better watch it. I'm telling you, that's the hour we're coming to.
Right. Yeah.
Just because man says we can change the precepts of the work. No, you can't, because it's foundation.
Right.
You cannot alter this work. You can tear these pages out. You can rip the pages out. You can try to burn these Bibles, but it does not change the precepts of the Word of God.
Yeah.
What God has set up, it will remain.
Yes.
It will remain.
Amen.
How many members that king turned up that furnace, turned it up hotter? And guess what? The fire burnt the prison guards. It burnt the men that threw them in. But the king got to looking. He said, wait a minute. Didn't we throw three in there? I'm glad that king could count. Because he realized a fourth man just got in that fire.
Yeah.
Can I tell the church, that's what the God we serve. Yeah. He'll show up when we need him.
Yeah.
Don't bend your knee. B.J. Malhart, but Kyle knows him. Special guy. I always loved his spirit.
Yeah.
He would tell stories. He told a story one time about his father. He said, my father didn't even know it. He was going to hospitals, praying for people, ministering, just doing what a preacher does. VJ said he lost track, that there was people following him. And he said, all of a sudden, a bunch of Muslims surrounded my father, he said. He said, they got all around him. And they said, sir, we are Muslims, and we don't believe your God's real. And we're going to give you an opportunity to prove your God's real. And BJ said, my father was standing there. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know why they were surrounding him. He said, but all he knew is I need God to show up today. All I know is life or death for me today. And BJ said that leader of those Muslims, he brought his daughter that was dead. He said, my daughter is dead. He said, but if your God's like you say he is, she'll live today. And BJ Malhart said, my dad did the only thing he knew to do. He called on the God that he's always served. And that daughter of that Muslim leader, she come back to life. And every Muslim got up and they said, your God is alive and we want to know him. That's what the fire of God will do. It'll turn around.
Yeah.
That's why we can't bend the knee.
Yeah.
God don't need a Republican. God don't need a Democrat.
That's right.
We just need to say, God, get in the White House.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm trying to shut the train down. But I keep feeling God giving me things. I promise I won't hold you too much longer. Just bear with me a few more moments. So often we're quick to say America's over.
Yeah.
Well, why are we still here then?
Yeah.
Come on.
Are we not in America?
Yeah. Yeah.
The greatest country I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can prove that. I'll tell you right now, going a trip with Brother Frazier one day over there to some of those countries, it'll change your perspective on how blessed we have. These padded chairs, you'll sit on them different. You'll hug them. You'll say, thank God for them. These lights that you have, you'll get to where you love them. I remember that one time we went to Mexico, and after we ate the food, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings here, it was just different. Our bodies weren't used to it. I got so sick, Sister Frazier. Brother Boyer, somebody asked him, said, what was in that? He said, glass. And it just affected us so bad. I said, God, so often I complain, but I'll take what we have any day today. What I'm trying to say is, nobody got stopped here tonight.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who got stopped and had a guard asking you, where are you going? What direction are you going? How long are you going to be there? That's what some of them deal with.
Yeah.
Some of them deal with what church organization, what's the identification of, how long are you going to be there, what are you going to be doing, what are you going to be saying, what are you going to be we don't deal with that. We get up here tonight, I have the freedom to lift my voice. That's why I say we better lift our voices while we've got the freedom to lift our voices. We better let that fire burn while we've got the freedom to let it burn, because there may be a day that Brother Eastman's got to call you and say, we're going to meet in the basement. Don't tell everybody. We're going to have to meet and sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we going to sing? We're not. What do you mean? We're just going to have to whisper. He said, oh, it ain't that bad. Oh, yes, it is. I know one church, we had a preacher come. He said, you got emotion. He said, you have to forgive me. I haven't heard singing in so long. He said, where I'm at, we have to whisper our songs. Could you imagine, look how you were talking, that song, I knew what I was preaching. I said, he don't know what I'm preaching. I'm talking about that fire. Could you imagine having to get up here? Something different when you can express it and say, there's a fire.
Yes.
There's something different when you can express it.
Yes.
Let the fire live. Yes. Don't let your fire. Don't take for granted. Don't take for granted what you have today. Don't lose the fire. I've got friends. I'm closing with this. My wife wants to come tonight, whatever she feels like the Lord's dealt with and saying. She wants to get ready. I had friends that sat with me. Brother Frazier, I've got one in particular, one of my best friends. And I can remember when the songs would get playing. I can remember what it was like to be that teenager. And it was so good when we would shout together. It was so good dancing in the spirit together. But today, he's so far from God. He's so far from where he once was. You say, how did he get there? Because somewhere he lost sight of the fire.
Yeah.
There's places, there's seats that we sit here today that maybe your mind goes back to. And you can say, I remember who used to feel that seat. But the fire burned out and they lost their desire to go to church.
Yeah.
You know what? Can I caution somebody tonight? I've heard it said. One thing I do really believe, I want to say this carefully, and I mean this with all sincerity. Don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. That's not my desire. The one thing that I've heard preachers say, the only thing that worries them with now that we've got the techniques of being able to do the videos and the live stream, that's a blessing, especially for shut-ins. You know what? Shut-ins can't help it. They can't get to church. I say, you know what? Give them something that they can watch. Give them something that they can glean from. But we, which are alive, and we've got the ability to get to church, there's nothing that takes the place of coming together.
Yes.
There's, you know, we were built off emotion. You know, Pastor said it. COVID, that was tough. Yeah. Think about it. We couldn't see each other smile because we had the mask on.
Yeah.
We couldn't see I remember preaching. I don't know, Brother Frazier, that was the roughest time. And Brother Eastman, that was the roughest time trying to preach what you feel God's giving you. And when you look, the people that you're burning for, they're not there.
Yeah.
The seats are empty. And you're like, God, I'm trying to preach that there's life. And our church sits empty.
Yeah.
There's nothing like the real thing.
That's
why the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We build off one another. Because you know what? There's times when your brother might come to church and you don't know what he's been through. But your testimony that says, I've been where you've been, might be the spark that lights his fire.
Yes.
You ever seen wildfires? They're amazing. How quick. We had a man where we were living. Another place in Kentucky. He decided he was going to burn leaves. Don't ask me why. He lit the fire and he got comfortable and went on in the house. Little did he know, the wind got a hold of it and there was a hill. And that wind got there and it was dry. Them leaves was dry. And it hit them leaves. And next thing we knew, that whole hill was on fire. Fire truck after fire truck was coming down that road. I remember that night, me and my wife, we drove our car down. And even though the fire was put out, you would still, every once in a while, you'd see them coals when the wind would blow. You'd see a glow. Like something was, and I called the fire department because I got concerned. I said, hey, are you sure that the fire's out? And they said, well, what's going on, sir? And I said, well, every time the wind blows, I start to see a glow like something still burning. And he began to explain to me. He said, well, sir, you are seeing little fires. But he said, that's from where we've piled them. We've got areas that we've took stuff and we've got it into what we call a safety zone. He said, we're keeping an eye on it too. You know what? I want to tell somebody, your fire, you might feel like it's beyond burning. You might feel like it ain't hot. Brother Ralston's son, he said he was the fire keeper for the Boy Scouts when he was a boy. He said, and they told me, they said, later on, we're going to need you to check that fire and make sure it's still hot so we can see if we can stir it up again. Just seeing his face, the way he told it, Brother Grant Ross, smart guy, but he said common sense sometimes it don't register with me. He said I was the idiot that instead of just putting my hand up like this, I just went right them coals. He said, boy, next thing I knew, I wanted to find the closest water spot and just jump in. He said, it was hot. We cooked on it. Evident. My finger's a testimony of it. I'm going to tell somebody. It ain't over.
Right.
You might feel like you don't understand, brother. I ain't felt that in so long.
Come on.
Get close to the fire.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's that fire? That fire is a representation of the presence of God.
Yes.
How many remembers Moses? He saw that burning bush and he got a desire to go see it. And the bush burned, but it was not consumed. Can I tell you, if you'll burn with the right fire, you will not burn out.
Right.
Just burn with the right fire. How many remembers? It was also that fire that led Israel when their path out, and that fire became that barrier in between them and the Egyptians. I'm telling you, the fire is important. So important. One man said it like this. I'm closing with this. There was a man. He had gotten hurt. He had gotten bitter. He had literally made the statement. He said, I hate preachers. Just got hurt. You know what? He said, how can he say it? How many times have we allowed things that happen to make us hate the wrong person? Hate the devil, not the person. Everybody's human. You know what? I've hurt my wife. My wife's hurt me at times. But you know what? I kept loving her. I kept loving her. I pray that she feels the same about me. But that man said one day, my daughter come to me and said, Daddy, I got my heart right with God. Why don't you go to church with me? That man said, I hadn't been to church in years. I told my daughter, I don't want to go to church, honey. I hate church. I hate church. I hate preachers. I hate everything about the church. They did me wrong. They hurt me. That's why I'm bitter today. And that daughter, you know, children have a way of bending fathers. Especially daughters. My daughter, she can get my heart quick. She's my firstborn. I love her more than she'll ever know. Better stop before I start crying. That dad said, I looked at my daughter's face. He said, honey, I'll go to church for you. He said, I made up my mind I was going to sit in the back. He said, but that night, it was one of those services that I started remembering. I started remembering the power and I saw my daughter up there. He said, I could see her. And then the next thing I know, my daughter was on the floor. And he said, I lost track of where my daughter was. He said, and I saw all these people getting around my daughter. And he said, the first thing I thought, what are they doing to my daughter? Because I was hurt. And I was thinking, what are they doing to my daughter? I had no clue my daughter had prayed through the Holy Ghost. He said, so I took off running. I couldn't see her. He said, I got all the way up on the pulpit and I stepped over to see. He said, and all of a sudden something hit me. He said, I got too close to the fire. And love started entering my heart. And I started loving the preacher again. I started loving the preacher's wife again. I started loving the goodness of God as I saw my daughter being filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, before long, he said, I guess you could say I got too close to the fire because the fire got on me.
Yeah.
That's what the fire will do for you. It'll change your attitude. It'll take things that are rooted down deep and it'll pull them up. One more story, and I'm going to bring us to the altars. There was a man, I heard Brother Jerry Pascarella tell this, and I'm telling you, it was so powerful. And one reason I loved the story was because it was from here in New York State. I said, I never had heard that. But I always get his last name wrong, so I won't say the last name. But his name was Orville. And he said that he had a young child that died at a young age. And he said Orville got so bitter and so upset at God. And he got to where he started hating on God. And he felt like God had forsaken him. And he got into the street gangs. And he said that Orville, he had gotten into so much wickedness that they started calling him Awful Orville. Could you imagine that being your name everywhere you went? Awful Orville. He said that's what they called him. He said one day Orville was sitting on his porch. And he had a pistol in one hand, and he had a whiskey bottle in the other hand. And he said, Orville, he started mouthing off at God because he was drunk. And that hate started coming out, that hate that was down deep. And he said, God, I wish you'd showed yourself. I'd box you right now. God, if I could see you, I'd punch you right now. That's because how much bitterness he got down deep in him. He said, but all of a sudden in the middle of the night, that just a few moments later, he said, the most audible voice I ever heard in my life said, Orville, Orville, if you ever want to see that boy of yours again, you better quit hating on me and you better love me. He said, I went from a drunken stage to instantly I sobered up. Instantly I come out of that drunken stage and I realized, God's put his finger on me. And if I want to see that boy of mine again, I've got to change my ways. He said, so what I did, I got a shovel. He said, and I couldn't, you know, many people say, why didn't you just pour the bottle out? He said, I had a sniffer for whiskey. If I could smell it, I was going to find it. He said, but Orville, he dug a hole and he threw that pistol in that hole. He said, the next thing Orville did, he took that bottle of whiskey and he threw that in the hole. He said, and the third thing Orville did, it was symbolic. He said, Orville said, I took everything that was in my heart symbolically to God. And I said, God, every ounce of bitterness, every bit of hate that I feel towards you, I throw it in the grave. And he said, Orville got saved. He got called into the prison ministry and he went into those prisons of New York State back in the 1800s. And he said, this is what he began to preach to those prisoners. He said, men, I buried my bitterness before my bitterness buried me. I want to tell somebody tonight, you better bury the things that the devil's brought to your path. You better bury it tonight before it puts your fire out. You better bury those things before it buries you.
Yes.
You can do that tonight. I don't care if that fire feels like it ain't been burning. God knows how to light our fire. And he can do it quicker than we can. But I'm telling you what, it's when we humble ourselves and say, God, I've got to have the fire. Can we come for a few moments? I tried my best. It's about 8:32. Can we just find a few moments here tonight just to seek after God? Let a fire start. You know what? Before that clock changes, let the fire start tonight so in the morning it'll burn afresh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Burn the fire in our lives tonight. Burn the fire. our souls tonight.